Let's talk a little bit about the important events going on next Friday. And I say events plural because it is more than just one thing. Amy, you've got the talking points. Would you like to kind of summarize what is No Man's Land Film Festival and the surrounding occasion?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So we've had, this is our third year for No Man's Land Film Festival, which is, it's like Banff for girls. And they are typically films that have been produced, directed, and or starred in by women and trans women. We're a genderqueer and friendly organization. No Man's Land is, and then of course, SAFE as the sponsors, primary sponsors of this event, we're queer forward. So that's part of why we bring it to town now. And then it benefits some of our local organizations. This year, our beneficiaries are Sandpoint Alliance for Equality and our Pride Outside programming and other programming we offer. And we're going to underwrite KRFY.
Yeah.
Which we're super excited about. Mm-hmm. Personally, as a journalist, I'm always happy to support the importance of journalism. So the film festival is a series of films on Friday night that are ranging in all kinds of different sports. We go from women who are mountain bikers to rock climbers to free ride skiers. That was another thing I was going to say. Are there other sports that are called free ride, Lindsay? Because Jack was like, oh, Lindsay's a free rider. And I was like, well, does that only apply to skiing? Do we need to point out that you put sticks on your feet and launch off mountainsides?
That is actually something I don't know, if there's free ride in other sports. Like,
but if we say, like, you're a free rider, people know we're talking about snow and you're not just, like, naked on a bike.
Mm. Yeah, presumably, yes.
Okay.
Yes. People who aren't familiar with skiing and all the nuances of it, maybe not, but yes.
Okay. We're gonna talk about Lindsay's skiing history. We'll talk about it a little bit today, and then we're going to talk about it on stage. So this collection of films has been selected by our very competent crew of volunteers. And in fact, the whole thing is put on by volunteers. So it's really, I can't talk about it without talking about Lauren Sanders and Sammy Berryman, who you know, and Lindsay Zembauer, who's on the board of SAFE, and our primary sponsors, Matchwood, who I feel like their name is on everything sponsored in this town. We have so many generous organizations. Bluebird Bakery, your neighbors, has sponsored us, and Claire Anderson. They all help us make sure we secure the Panada, which is where it is at 6 o'clock on Friday. And I would like to remind everyone, in case you have forgotten, it's Mother's Day weekend next weekend. And what better way to start the entire weekend of celebrations, because it shouldn't just be Sunday morning, than taking your mama to some movies about really rad women. And of course, we have raffles and some neat things that have been donated by the community. OE has kayaks for the day, a couple of kayaks for the day. We have baskets of rad things. Larson's gave us a basket. We've got swag and hammocks and Ponder Play punch passes. And Tendrils gave us a gift card, which I'm really hoping to get, because I think you can go and it's like a hippie med spa.
Okay.
I don't know if that's how they would call it. I think
probably. Yeah, I'm sure.
But
I thought it was a flower store. Now I'm learning something.
Oh, okay. Tendrils? Yeah. No, they do all kinds of
inside.
Like they're like an apothecary.
Okay.
In fact, I think that is their name, Tendrils Apothecary.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I have looked in the window. I don't think I've ever set foot in there.
They have
now
one of
I
those
know.
Float tanks, which I hear are amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, is the float tank. That's my favorite part.
Have you done it?
I have.
I thought, how is it different from just taking a good bath?
Yeah.
Because you're just floating. You're in this, like, you're in the dark, in this bubble-shaped thing, just floating for an hour.
Wow. What, and is there some salt or something in the water?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so that will keep you afloat a little more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a breathing apparatus?
Or no, you're just lying face on your back? Up.
Floating.
You can put music on as well.
Okay.
So some
What's
people listen to Dark Side of the Moon
mm-hmm.
and drop acid.
Maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. An hour is not long enough.
Right.
Well, okay. We've gotten into, you got raffles. The film festival itself is a world tour. I mean, it's not just a Sandpoint event. This weekend, it's just Correct. A Sandpoint event, but this these are films from, submitted from, I think, around the world, if I read
All
that right.
All over the world. And one of my favorite things actually is the exposure we get to female athletes in other countries. Like last year, there was this, I think she was an Egyptian woman who was a kite surfer. And she was amazing and remarkable and like so tenacious. And she kept winning the events and they were trying to not let her compete because she was beating the men. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a category for women. And they were like, well, listen, it's too embarrassing because you beat the men. And she was like, I'm flying anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality in a lot of other places. You know, when we talk about things like Title IX and allowing women into sports, that is a privilege of Americans. It's not everywhere. So it's important for us to recognize these like hard-won rights in our country because they don't exist in other places. We have a story this year about a Chinese runner. Her name, to remember it, Yao Miao. She is a really fascinating story because in China, your path is dictated for you in a lot of ways. And so she was athletically gifted and her family did everything they could to make sure she got into the sports school where the government sort of selects you, they train you, and then they see if you have what it takes to become an athlete for the nation. And they gave up their whole lives and her. She's sent away to a boarding school. She goes and she trains and she trains and she trains her whole childhood away. And then it comes to graduation and she does not get selected to continue, which means she's relegated back to village life. And she just is like, no, I don't think that's what I'm going to do. And so she takes up trail running and she wins everything. She figures out that trail running, you get prize money. And so she's like, I guess I'll earn money winning trail races. And she is an animal. She's this long, lean, just brilliant. She looks like a force of nature, as if she belongs there with the deer racing through these technical trails. And she's remarkable to witness. And her story is remarkable. Definitely swimming against the current in China, doing things like that. So we have that film this year. We have a great ski film that I was just talking about with Lindsay. That I was like, oh, there's on the list of things I never want to try. It's jumping off the side of a mountain that's like 90 degrees. And we have a really heartwarming story about a trans woman who was a professional climber and transitioned late in life and what that experience was like for her. We have some environmental films looking at how things are changing at the poles and what that means. And the conflict of, like, do we bring tourists to these pristine places to increase awareness about what's happening to them? And if so, how do we do that with the least impact to the environment in that area? We have a story about a Black kayaker who kayaks the Mississippi by herself. She's pretty remarkable. And what else do we have? I think we have about seven. Yeah, we have seven films this year. There's a little intermission. We kind of try to have something for every athlete in there. And then Lindsay and I are going to talk about women in sports because Lindsay, as a skier, has had a very unique experience. I mean, probably other female skiers have experienced the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that this morning whenever you're needing to go to a commercial break or after.
Mm-hmm.
How much rock and roll do we listen to in this hour?
We can listen to some rock and roll. It happens.
Okay.
Yeah. We're talking to Lindsay Anderson and Amy Midstock about the upcoming No Man's Land Film Festival, which is next Friday at the Panada Theater. At what time, Amy? Uh-oh.
I'm drinking
Sorry.
Coffee.
I know. I wasn't looking. What is
it? I had to drink the coffee before I could remember what time. We start at 6. Doors open at 6. And okay. raffle tickets are available then. And then at 7 o'clock, the movies start. And it's probably about a 2-hour show. It's pretty kid-friendly. There's also some stuff in the raffles that kids would enjoy. And we obviously want everybody to bring the young ladies out so they can see and be inspired about like what you can do with your life if you so choose. Mm-hmm. And your bones. And your hopefully good health insurance.
The seven films, the seven short films were, these particular ones were selected by people here in Sandpoint.
There's yeah. like,
so you get, how does that work? You're sent a whole bunch of other movies mm-hmm. and you say, these are the ones for us.
Yeah. There are literally like dozens of movies mm-hmm. and, you get, so the No Man's Land Film Festival will send you a selection. Sometimes you can see the film and sometimes you only can see the preview before you can see the film. And so it's an interesting process because we really, you have a whole crew. We have a committee who decides, and those are the volunteers. And while it's like, oh, you're volunteering to watch some movies, it's actually really difficult to figure out what does our audience want to see? How do we be inclusive and offer something for everyone? Like we have so many diverse athletes here in Sandpoint. We want everyone to come, but we also really want to be aware that we live in a bit of a bubble here. So we want to talk about places that are impacted by war, places that are impacted by poverty, places that are impacted by gender and LGBTQ discrimination. And so trying to find a layout like that, that's also inspirational because some of the movies are really hard. We have a film about a woman who became a quadriplegic but in mountain biking. And when she, after her injury, they believe she's going to be on a ventilator for the rest of her life. And she teaches herself to breathe again. Mm. And then she wants to go mountain biking again. And she does, not to spoil it, but it is amazing, these stories, but also heartbreaking. And a big part of what we do too at SAFE is talking about representation in the great outdoors for women, for LGBTQ population, for Black and BIPOC population who are very little represented out in the great outdoors. And so the selection process is like, how can we show what it's like for other people to get out there? How can we talk about those hard stories? And also, how can we just get some stoke going? I mean, Banff is like Red Bull stoke all the way. This is, we're going to say this is a little bit more like emotionally intellectual. Not that we're competing.
Yeah.
And socially aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's the flavor of it. It's the outdoor movie scene is very popular. It's a scene here in Sandpoint, I would say.
It's an outdoor town.
Yeah. These documentary film festivals, like you mentioned Banff, but yeah, the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. There's always a crowd that likes to turn out and see these.
Did you go see the Sailing Association film last year about I think it was called The Loneliest Race, about people who sail around the planet by themselves? It's like a 9-month yeah. race.
I was thinking about the one up to Alaska or something like that. No, I remember talking about this with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We have all these outdoor organizations that bring these films that
yeah.
both inspire you and terrify you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't touch another body for 9 months and there, you know, there'd be like a storm and men would be crying and strapping themselves into their boats. And the lady who wins it, of course, it's a chick.
Mm-hmm.
She's like eating stew from a pot during a hurricane and just sort of swaying back and forth in her boat. And she's like, wow, it's a little windy out there. Mm-hmm. And I love that about our town is that there's just like a little bit of everything. And you can be sure the Panada is going to get you excited for whatever seasonal sport you do.
Look at that.
Cool. Look at that. Are you looking at the films?
Yeah, I am. When do you talk to Lindsay? When do Amy and Lindsay take the stage? And is anybody else on stage with you?
I don't know. It depends on who, like, is somebody going to crash our party?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's might be a surprise.
Streakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please let leadership standpoint know that we don't want the flocks. We don't need these on stage. We're surrounded
we should acknowledge
a billion pink flamingos, which I did think had a different context, so I was a little alarmed when I came in the door. But apparently leadership standpoint's on a roll. What's going on here?
Yeah, we got flocked. The flamingos flew in on, I think, on Wednesday night. No, Tuesday night. So they've been here for a day. And I think it's time for them to move along. But they are very friendly, I mean, and quiet, polite birds, so they haven't been too disruptive.
It is the most color I've seen in your studio for a while.
Yeah.
We're
kind of more muted earth tones here usually, and then the vibrant pink.
I call that the shield of Waldorf, the earth tone wardrobe.
That's nice. The shield of Waldorf. Okay. The flamingos are here. It's, I guess, raising awareness to some extent of their efforts in the community to, right now, they're getting ready for their big fundraiser, which is also, what is that, this weekend? That's this weekend. That's
I think
this Saturday.
It's coming up, yeah. They do a bunch of amazing stuff for our community.
On
this
Saturday,
so
they're
cool.
doing a big fundraiser for the Historical Society, I believe.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And I suppose they're busy getting ready for that, and that's why the flamingos are still here, because nobody has any time
You're
to come pick them up.
You're being pretty subtle about your request for the flamingos to be relocated, but I don't think they can do it until you tell them where to put them.
I have.
Oh, okay.
But I can't. I don't want to broadcast
okay,
that.
Okay, you picked a new victim.
I picked
victim.
A victim, yeah, but I can't tell.
Do
I don't want to warm them.
Do they have a bathtub?
Because
these are all like little rubber ducky
flamingos. Yeah, they're floating flamingos. They're not the kind that you would stick into a yard or anything.
In Florida.
Mm-hmm.
In a retirement community.
Uh-huh.
I see.
Yes.
I think they're fun because I've never been in this room, so I just assumed this,
you
was,
thought this was just normal.
The aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not alarming at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Lindsay and I are going to get on stage, and we're going to talk about Lindsay's ski experience, which I'm going to dive into right now. Can we
sure.
jump into it? I want to hear about what that was like. So, Lindsay, how did you become a free ride skier?
Okay. It's been a long journey. I'll start when I was 6 years old. I got into ski racing, and I did that from the age of 6 to 20. I'd competed at the University of Idaho for a couple years, and once I graduated college, I came back home here and started ski race coaching for the Schweitzer Alpine Racing School up at the mountain. And did that for 4 years. Once I was done with that, I just decided to move to Crested Butte, Colorado. On a whim, drove through a multi-state snowstorm to get there in January of 2017. And Crested Butte is known for big mountain skiing. It's like the home of freeride skiing. So I learned a lot while I was there. I was skiing with skiers who are incredible, who can get into some of the gnarliest terrain and make it look easy. So I was skiing terrain that challenged me in a lot of ways and was like opening up what is possible in skiing for me. I started doing more cliff jumping and just skiing really challenging terrain.
Help us visualize, since the people listening to us cannot imagine that when they're like free ride, they're like, does that mean you don't pay for a ticket? And if you've ever seen like free ride film, it's pretty terrifying. Like the whole time you're like, okay, is this person going to live? And they get to the bottom of the hill and they're like, oh, that was fun. But like, describe this. This is not skiing down some groomers here.
No, it's not. So free ride, like, the essence of freeride is getting out into the most rugged, steep, rocky, wild terrain that you can and skiing down it with the goal of making it look effortless, like you're just flowing down the mountain.
And living,
yeah, that's the goal, ultimately.
Because people die doing this.
People do die. doing this. It is very dangerous.
Have you had any bad accidents out there? Certainly some scares.
You know what?
Knock on wood.
Yeah, always knock on wood. I've had some bad ski race crashes, but I have been lucky, like out in big mountain terrain. I've had some scares. I had a scare recently at Kicking Horse. I just was not feeling good at the top of my run and went for it anyways and got caught up and just slammed on my face and then was upside down sliding down the steepest, gnarliest part of the venue and then just got launched off of a cliff. And then I thought that I was going to die. I was like, there's no way I'm coming out of this without a broken bone or something. But I landed and popped up and was like, oh, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
So how many people watched that?
Oh, quite a few people. Yeah. Cause they had sent the men first that day. So they're all at the bottom and I was shaken up, you know, I was like, yeah, I did not feel mentally good about it. I was anxious, but I ultimately was grateful to have been okay.
Whew. How is it different? So you said they sent the men first. How is the free ride experience as a female athlete? How has it been like watching and witnessing men versus women out there on the mountains?
Yeah, that is a good question. It's something that I've always been aware of because there is a difference between men and women in free ride. Like the men are pushing it to these levels that are insane. They're doing huge tricks off of huge cliffs and the women are progressing. They've progressed so much in the last decade. Like you're seeing some junior athletes coming up now, like Hannah Epstein, for example, who's doing what the men are doing. But like as a woman, it was always just skiing true to myself. It like there's a part of me that thinks, oh, I'm not skiing as big as the men. Like, is it as important? But the whole part of free ride is creativity and being true to yourself and doing like pushing yourself, but in a way that is relatively safe. So yeah, that's been my goal I like to ski fast and take chances, but I am skiing true to myself.
What's the support been like for the female ski riders out there? I mean, you guys are behind the men. I think, what I'm hearing is that there's not been the training support for women, that it's a real different approach. Or that you've had to rely on male coaches, which is also different. How's that experience been for you?
Yeah, that is a good question because, there's more men involvement in freeride. I think because of the nature of how dangerous and risky it is. So it's a sport that it takes a lot mentally to get into the right headspace. And like having the visibility of women excelling in the sport is huge as well. And also for me, I've been a free ride coach at Schweitzer for the last 7 years. It's been really important for me to continue that just to show girls what is possible. That's been a huge motivator.
How many, so you have a co-ed group that you coach?
Yes.
And how many, what's the ratio boy to girl now, and how has it changed since when you were learning freeride?
There's definitely more boys than girls. We did have more girls join the team this season, but that has been common for there to be more boys than girls. It's tough not having as many girls because I feel like if we did have a bigger group of girls, they'd be pushing each other in the same way that the boys do. So there have been differences there, but I think with the visibility that freeride is getting and the more women and girls that are competing in it and pushing the sport like they are, hopefully more girls will continue to join.
What's the pitch to convince parents who pay for this? Why freeride is the sport for their child? Because we know ski sports, soccer sports consume the life of all families. You know, when your kid gets good at something, but this is such a dedicated ski town. So why would a parent be like, free ride's the thing for you, kiddo? It's like the art of skiing.
Yes, yes. A lot of parents get their kids into ski racing initially, which is great. You gain amazing fundamentals from ski racing. But I think the reason to get kids into free ride is that it's teaching you how to ski the entire mountain really well. It makes you a well-rounded skier. And when I think about my ski racing career compared to free ride, what I love about free ride is that there's so much creativity of expression in it that I didn't have in ski racing, because ski racing is more rigid. You're skiing the same run, whereas free ride just gives you the ability to express yourself.
And there's a lot more variables.
Yes, a lot more variables. But my favorite part of it is because, I mean, I love the sport of skiing. It's my true passion. And there's an aliveness that comes from being in parts of the mountain that are extremely challenging. And what I love about those moments where I'm on something that is like, is terrifying, is that my focus gets so sharp and clear, and my brain, you know, all the rumination and overthinking stops. Like, I'm just in the moment. And it's one of the few places that I experience that, where I'm connected to the mountain and just connected to myself.
It's like a meditation. It sounds spiritual.
Yes. I do think of it as a moving meditation. Yeah.
Wow. Are you sold? Are you going to go, Jack? You've got a kiddo.
Am I going to the movie, or am I going
to
start
the movie,
take up?
I'm sure, but
yeah. Am
you...
I going to take up freestyle skiing?
Yeah.
I'm not, or free skiing? I'm not. No, free
or
riding.
Send your kid. You've got a kid.
I do.
Does your child have health insurance?
Yeah, he does. Yes.
Okay.
No. My question is, I mean, it's not a race. Are you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you go and you do these organized free riding events, but is it a competition? Do you get judged at the end? Does somebody say, oh, she did better than she did, or I don't know?
Yes. It's not a race. There's no timing involved. It is a judged event. So there's a group of judges at the bottom who can see the whole face of a run. And there's five judging categories. You're judged on your line choice. The more challenging the line, the higher you'll score. And then control, fluidity, speed, style, and energy. So essentially, if you can pick a really challenging line and make it look like it's a walk in the park, then you'll do pretty well.
Is that your approach? Pick a challenging line, or is it that's your move? As challenging a line as you're willing to, as you're comfortable.
Yeah. Whatever is within my comfort zone. But my goal usually is to pick one of the most challenging lines that I believe I'm capable of and ski it fast.
Yeah. How was this winter? Schweitzer did not get very much snow. Yeah.
This winter was weird. It was weird. You know, the weather patterns were weird. We got all that rain in December. It was very different than the year before, because the year before the snow line was... it was down far enough for the mountain to fill in really well. And that just, I mean, that changed just the vibe of the whole season. Like last year the mountain had opened quite early. And so it was easy to get my feet under me at the beginning of last season. This season was challenging because I had barely skied before my first competition. And it was hard to get into it. It was a very mellow season.
Yeah.
Where did you do your first competition?
This year it was at Revelstoke up in BC, and then Kicking Horse 3 days later.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then you were in Colorado also? Were you down there doing some racing?
Not this year. That was last year.
Last year. What are you thinking about this upcoming season? It sounded like you weren't sure if you were just going to coach, or maybe you might race a little.
Yeah. I last season was one of the, I mean, it was the best competition season that I had ever had. I went like all in. I ended up at the Challenger Series, which is a series of events that qualifies you for the Freeride World Tour. And that's like the top, top competition in freeride skiing. And this year I think with all of the adrenaline of last year and this year being slower, I almost was fine being mellow and just like tuning back into myself. I think I almost needed the season to do that, but that does often happen to me where I'll push myself so much in a season, have a really mellow season next, and then I'll have this fire to do it again. I'm not totally sure what that will look like yet, but yeah, we'll see once it starts to get cooler again.
I have that pattern too as an athlete that I will, and I tend to switch sports also mm-hmm. to not get burnt out and to spare my joints. So maybe one year I train really hard for a 24-hour mountain bike ride, and then I'm pretty satisfied with a bike saddle for a while. And the next year, and I'm like, I'm never going to race again. But usually within 24 hours of completing an event, I have a deep emptiness inside of me and I'm starting to seek like, what's the next thing? But I need to switch it up. So maybe the next year it's a running event, or this year it's a swimming event. And that keeps me from being burnt out. But just the rigor and the discipline of training wears on the head too. I don't think we recognize how much that impacts us, that pressure or the adrenaline that you're talking about. I mean, that can really smoke a system. And I think that also, you know, a lot of times when we're talking about female athletes, especially a little later in life, they're also raising families. And maybe they have other real jobs too, because I don't know that free ride skiers make a lot of money. It's a pretty expensive sport until you're at the top top.
Yeah, even when you're at the top top, it's still expensive. So yeah, it takes like a special set of circumstances to be able to do it at that level.
Are you still hoping to get there?
You know what? I have not given up on the dream of getting there. So, but my approach to it is to just like take it as it comes. You know, if I'm just trying to be as present with myself as possible. And if I reach a certain point where I'm like, yeah, I want to go for it, then I will.
It's interesting. I don't know how it is for you, Jack. Do you interview other like men athletes, male athletes here? Because there's just a different tone. I hear women talking so much more about balance and flow and like intuition and listening to what their bodies need. I don't have that from my male friends who also compete with me. It's a very different tone.
You're right. Yeah. There definitely is a different. Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah, seeking that balance. I mean, we don't interview a lot of professional athletes on the morning show, so I can't think of anybody in particular to compare it to. But for sure, talking to people who are active. You know, we talk about the gravel ride series and things.
Why don't you get Matt Gillis in here? Have you seen what he does?
No,
Matt Gill. I follow Matt. Matt, I hope you're listening this morning. Mm-hmm. I follow Matt on Strava. It is insane. If you see somebody running like sub 7 minute miles in a 95 degree day at 2 p.m. through Sandpoint, that's Matt.
Okay.
And then if you like follow him somewhere else, he's probably doing, you know, 100-mile ride a little bit later after the sun goes down. And that's probably his like, oh, race this weekend, just in recovery mode. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible athlete, which anytime somebody does that much exercise, I start asking about their traumatic past.
Mm-hmm.
What I know is that he's lovely. Yeah.
I can't talk to runners at all, period. I cannot connect to that, you know, that why would you do this? Why would you do this to yourself? There's nothing pleasant about running ever to me.
You know? What are you running from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not take a nice walk? If you're in a hurry, take a car. If you're not
from the guy who rides a bike everywhere.
I know, I ride a bike everywhere. That's fine. You can breathe on a bicycle when you're You know, or take a walk. That's nice too. A run. Come on. What are you doing?
We're wrecking our knees,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
We're wrecking our knees.
That's exactly what you're doing.
I met a man once who had run, he did a world record. He ran a marathon every day for a year. And I was going to run a marathon with him, and they were all sort of PR stunts at that point. And I was asking him about all his worst marathons, the one he had to do, and the rule was like within a 24-hour period. So he was traveling all over the world to run these marathons, and if he flew 12 hours, he still had to get into a place and run his marathon.
Yeah,
and he had sponsors and stuff, so he couldn't fail. And he got to Mexico City, and he got Montezuma's revenge. And there's like a documentary about him trying to do laps in this park and just stopping every 200 yards to hit the loo. And everybody was asking him, you know, why do this? And he was like, oh, I used to be a triathlete. And you know, basically, I think he was a few cocktails in on this flight by then. And he was like, he was kind of about the money. You know, they sponsored him, a pharmaceutical company sponsored him for like $1 million to go do this thing and wear their jersey for, I don't know, probably cholesterol meds or something. And but I was really like, have another drink. What's your what was your childhood like? And then I got the real story. So I'm just saying that to second that people run for a different reason.
That's
I think you're onto something.
That's what I think. Yeah. No offense to any of the runners out there. And I hear that there is such a thing as like a runner's high, and that sounds nice. I've never tried that.
It exists in many sports. You don't have to run for it.
Okay. Let me see. Here, we got to take a musical break. I'll give you a couple options. We can listen to the California Honey Drops, who are playing at the Panada, I think, on the 13th of May. We can listen to a little Chaka Khan, appropriate. I think you know what song I'm thinking of. And then the other one is we could listen to Beat It, which on this date in 1983 hit number one on the Billboard charts.
We haven't canceled Michael Jackson yet.
Oh, we've apparently he's the biggest box office sensation in the country right now. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about this.
It's crazy.
And
right?
They said nothing bad about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we can, you know, we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna vote. I think Lindsay gets to pick. What would you listen to? Do you listen to music when you ski?
I sure do.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a wide range of music. I was going to say California Honey Drops because I do want to see them, but Chaka Khan really inspires me.
Okay. All right. Here we go with Chaka Khan, and we'll be right back on the morning show with Amy Midstoke and Lindsay Anderson talking about the No Man's Land Film Festival. Chaka Khan on the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY, wrapping things up in the next couple of minutes with Lindsay Anderson, freeride athlete and coach, and Amy Midstock from the Sandpoint Alliance for Equality, SAFE, who are going to be on stage next weekend, Friday, May 8th. That's what I was going to say, 8th, Friday, May 8th. At the No Man's Land Film Festival. Doors open at 6 and the show starts at 7 o'clock. And some proceeds go to this radio station, 88.5 KRFY. So if you were on the fence, let me encourage you. You better get out there. It supports us.
Yeah, exactly. I keep meaning to ask if we got Chris Parody's mom to donate last time when he was on the radio.
Oh, I'll have to look at the. I'll have to open up the ledger book and see.
Down to. We used to beg our parents to like support our college funds, and now they're old boomers, and we're like, "Can you please support our favorite nonprofits for Christmas instead of, you know, something else?" During the break, we were talking about why it's important to have women representation in other marginalized populations in representation in the outdoors, to let them know that those sports are accessible to them as well. And Lindsay had some interesting vague, we'll say vague stats. Nobody's going to hold you to it, but about like how many views are on a male athlete's ski videos on YouTube versus a female athlete's. Like, what's that? Like, what's the comparison if you look at videos of you and you're like, yay, I got 12 follows. And a guy doing the same thing gets what?
Yeah, there's a huge difference in views, like thousands and thousands of people that are watching the men's compared to the women. And I just think it's important to support and to watch these women because they're doing extremely challenging things. And the more that we can support, even with our views, like on social media, that's going to help.
How do we direct people to that? Like, if we're sort of not thinking about it, right? It's the algorithm that's like, oh, this was the most viewed, and it gets fed to us. Mm-hmm. How do we actively go and find these athletes? Like, who are great athletes to follow? Lindsay Anderson.
If you go onto the Freeride World Tour Instagram page or IFSA Instagram page and start to follow the women on there, like Justine Dufour-Lapont, Winter McBride. There's
a skier named Winter.
Yes, she's amazing.
She's from Colorado.
I forget where Winter. I think she's from Utah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it fits. I'd say getting on those pages and just watching the videos and supporting them, hitting the like button.
Yeah, and coming to the No Man's Land Film Festival,
yes,
of
definitely.
Course, on Friday night. That's a good way to support other athletes. And then getting your kids out there or even going to events here in Sandpoint and supporting, you know, we've got cross country, we have girls soccer, we have great skiing, we have a pretty rad lacrosse team. So there's lots of ways to go out there and see our female athletes and cheer them on and raise a new generation of girls being rad.
There's girls wrestling in the high school now in Sandpoint High School, and it's a very popular sport from what I understand.
I'm not surprised.
I know. Yeah.
We've all been raised by loggers.
Yeah, right.
Watch out.
But yeah, I don't know. I was surprised to hear that when I was talking to our local sports reporter that there's a ton of girl wrestlers at Sandpoint High. Doing very well.
That's fantastic.
And I think the program's only been going for like 5 years. So
who's the wrestling coach there now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're quizzing me. I can't remember.
I think it was Steve Miller forever, but I don't know if he's still doing it. Do we have a women? So that would be my next question. Are there female coaches out there for these female athletes? Because I feel that's really important to be, that we are led by people who understand the uniqueness of the female athlete, whether it's we're talking about hormone cycles or menstruation and how that affects our performance and how it affects our nutrition. So if we're being led by men, we're already at a disadvantage because they're not capitalizing on those things that make us different or dare I say superior in some instances.
I'm trying to find out. I don't know who the coach is, but yeah, I'm curious as well. Do they have a female coach for the
Bring them on the radio. That's the show I want to hear next.
Okay.
The female wrestlers of Sandpoint.
The
get it, girls.
Girls varsity wrestling. Okay. Let's see. So the big event is next Friday night. It proceeds from the event benefit the Sandpoint Alliance for Equality. That's SAFE and this radio station 88.5 KRFY, and it's going to be a good show. Besides that, so very cool.
We'll be there. We look forward to seeing you.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing the films and hearing you guys talk some more. I think there's we've barely scratched the surface here. I think it'll be an interesting conversation.
That's right. Yeah, I look forward to it.
We're almost out of time. I'll mention a couple things coming up. Tonight, Bonner Homeless Transitions is hosting their Little Black Dress event out at the Idaho Club. And that's at 5 o'clock, and I believe tickets are still available for that. So a gala evening for a good cause, the Bonner Homeless Transitions. Let's see here. Sandpoint Farmers Market, opening day, Saturday, May 2nd. We mentioned that a little bit. The historic Drive and Discover Tour, which we also mentioned at the beginning of the show. The living history of the Pend Oreille River Valley from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., a self-guided automobile tour. So take your car, and then I think they've got six sites where you stop, pull over, somebody's going to be there. A docent will be there to educate you about what happened in this particular spot at, 100 years ago or so, or more.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that sounds pretty cool. Let's see. Pisney has their Community Appreciation Day on Saturday, May 2nd. The Panhandle Special Needs Inc. A plant sale out of their greenhouse from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you don't find what you're looking for at the farmer's market, head over to Pisney's greenhouse. And more information about that at panhandlespecialneeds.org. And next week is Live Give 7B. And that is, May 4th through 7th with a kind of a grand finale toast on May 8th.
It's a pretty neat thing that they're doing just to raise awareness for all of our local nonprofits. And thinking about which organizations are doing things that you care for. And it's so important right now because our government granting is really, many things have been defunded. So it's these nonprofits and their efforts to fundraise that are keeping these organizations viable and active and serving our community. So it's really, think about, this is my shout out to the public, think about the services that are provided to our great community by these organizations and give as generously as you can to them.
Support your local nonprofits. I think that's a good place to end the show because it's 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for Bird Note, Otto's Eclectic Mix, all day long after that here on 88.5 KRFY. Join us on Monday night and Tuesday night next week, 5:30 p.m. both nights at the Sandpoint High School Auditorium for candidate forums, county candidates and state legislative candidates. One, I believe the legislature goes first on the 4th, and then the county candidates is on the 5th. You can listen to it here on the radio or catch the podcast the next day or come down and see it in person and have your questions asked. Okay, here we go. Lindsay and Amy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
This is 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.